Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. We pray for our country as the turmoil is continuously amounting between political philosophies. Of course, the radical, liberal, globalist, socialistic, and abortion-loving Democratic Party philosophy is absolutely disastrous for freedom-loving Americans and our constitutional republic. The radical Democratic Party agenda is based on the Antichrist system found in the Word of God. The war for the mind is on. Jesus tells the disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Where is the power of the church in America today, my friends? The church has lost its power because it has quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist voices are drowning out the voices of the gospel, the only source of all freedom and liberty. You may argue the church has not lost its power, but I challenge you, if the American churches had the power of heaven upon them, the gospel, prayer and the Bible would still be taught and practiced in the classrooms of America's public schools, and we would not be witnessing this political destruction of our electoral process. The atrocious sins of America are due to a lukewarm church because they have lost their spiritual power. They have quenched the power of the Holy Spirit. Balaam is still alive and well, placing many stumbling blocks before us, upon which the churches have blindly fallen. Read about the false prophet Balaam in the book of Numbers, starting at chapter 22, and read the warnings to the churches in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation of Balaam's devices. Preachers, Christians, we need to be imploring the help of heaven in these latter days instead of gleefully desiring a stimulus check from the feckless demagogues that hold office in our morally and financially bankrupt governments around the country. Who are these feckless demagogues? They are the useless politicians that are trying to play God. Another stumbling block Balaam put out there is the hundreds of perverted and corrupt English Bible versions that have caused nothing but confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Many of these versions have completely removed the word hell from the Old Testament, including Lucifer's name. Wow, I wonder who was behind that. What benefit is it to leave the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament text instead of translating it for the reader? That is why this series on the messenger is so important for the God-fearing Christians out there who are so perplexed by the course of our nation. The nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Not Sheol, hell. See Psalm 9:17 in the King James Bible. Before the Lord's return, let's get our power back and have a real revival of holiness, truth, and biblical understanding. If my people, which are called by my name, who are God's people that are called by his name? Well, you have the Jews, were God's people in the Old Testament, and Christians are God's people in the New Testament. So, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The best present we could ask for in this Christmas season is for God to heal our land, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord, heal us from all disease, sickness, and this engineered pandemic. But also, Lord, more importantly, heal us from our moral and financial bankruptcy. Let's get inoculated with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Messenger, Part 23.
It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The word justify, Lang says this guy right here in this book, awesome book, says the word justify is sometimes used by the Holy Spirit to include sanctification. So in this passage, I'm going to read it again, 1 Corinthians 6, 7, 11, you should highlight it. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." By the Spirit of our God. There's a washing. There's a being made holy. You are justified. Justified for God to say, you're going to come with me into my kingdom. The Apostle Paul urges the faithful believer to cleanse their conscience. Ooh, cleanse our conscience. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Holy, holy. You could replace that word with sanctified, holy. acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we're going to learn here, you still have a will. And there's the war of the will. Are you going to do God's will or are you going to do your will? What's your will? And so there's that cleansing. Why does Paul have to say this in Romans chapter 12? He's speaking to believers. He's speaking to the church at Rome. He's telling them this is something that comes after your salvation. This is something you got to work on. This is your walk. Thank you. Sanctify, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice. You know what a living sacrifice means? You don't get offended by every little thing that you don't like. You don't get offended. You let it roll off your back like water off the back of a duck. You don't wear it on your sleeve. You learn to be, just deal with it. Don't be offended. Just keep on going on. And guess what? You're going to be offended a lot. Was Jesus offended a lot in his 3.5 years? But he ministered, loved to the point of loving to the cross and dying for his love. And so just we got to learn not to be offended. It's just as hard for me as it is for you. It's just as hard for you as it is for me. You gotta let it run off your back like water off the duck's back. You can't be offended. I'm offended. That's the millennial crowd. They're offended. They're offended. I'm offended by what you're saying in the lecture hall. I'm offended that you put on your Facebook this, or you put on Twitter, you put this on. The whole world, all these liberals are all offended with Donald Trump because he tweeted something that offended them. They're offended. They're all offended. So because he's so mean in his tweets, we got to remove him as president. But you can get billions of dollars from China into your own personal coffers, or Russia into your own personal foundation, and nobody says a word. But because Donald Trump tweeted something that's offensive. So, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, Paul likens it to sanctification by the blood of Christ and the eternal Spirit. It says here in Hebrew, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, means talking Old Testament, if the blood in the temple of goats and bulls and heifers sprinkling the unclean to sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Means Jesus' blood is much more important and powerful than the blood of heifers and of goats and of bulls. And that purification is more powerful, and it purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the eternal through the eternal spirit, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The word of God makes it clear that not all believers make it through the sanctification process in their life. Those who do so are used of God. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, purge your conscience from dead works, purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, made holy, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That means there's a process. And a process to make you usable. Are you usable for God or not? Is God going to use you? There's this preparation. So that's talking about after you're saved. And there's vessels of gold and silver, and there's vessels of wood and clay. What happens to vessels of earth and wood? They wear out pretty fast, right? They, if you had wooden forks and wooden spoons and wooden knife, you'd have a hard time keeping that supply. You'd have to replace them all the time, right? A wooden fork wouldn't last very long, would it? You break the tangs on the fork. But your metal stainless steel forks, you've had them for a long time. Your everyday use of forks, they handle the washing, they handle the food, they don't break when you press on them. It's like the plastic forks, you know, the spork. What a great invention, the spork. But it's you're being a vessel of honor, sanctified, and that's dealing more with, you know, China, of course, and something you would put food into or soup into or a liquid into. But gold and silver, that's you have that kind of vessel in your home, and you're going to take care of it, and it's going to last for a long time. It'll last your lifetime, several lifetimes of several people. It'll be an heirloom, one of those ugly heirlooms that you pass down from one person. The Lord rebukes Israel's religious leaders. The Lord rebukes Israel's religious leaders for their insufficient consecration. Do you remember this, where Jesus calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees hypocrites? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Now listen to the wording here and go back to what we were just talking about in Timothy. For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. So what is he saying? You look really pretty on the outside. You're all dutied up. You got your hair cut just right. You got your pretty white robe on. You got all your little dangly things hanging from your body, and your robe looks fashionable, and you have the nice silk, you know, scarfs and the sash, and you know you're wearing the latest fashion in religious garb and hat, and you know your sandals are so pretty, and the best made Gucci leather, and he says, but within ye are full of extortion and excess. Means the vessel looks good on the outside, but it is stinketh on the inside. It is a mess on the inside, full of sin. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Remember what Jesus said? He said, it's not what you put into your mouth that defiles you. You know, when the religious leaders say, well, your disciples haven't washed their hands before they ate. He said, it's not what they put into their mouth that defiles them. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles them. First, Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whitened sepulchres. Okay? Whitewashed marble, which indeed appear beautiful outward. Have you ever driven through a cemetery and look at all the pretty monuments in a cemetery, especially your older cemeteries and the mausoleums, the beautiful mausoleums in these cemeteries, old ones that have been hand carved, and you know the stone has been carved. That they're beautiful, but they're what? Full of dead men's bones. Dead men's bones, whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. They have been whitewashed, beautiful marble, been polished, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrites and iniquity. We are sealed unto God by the Spirit. We are sealed unto God by the Spirit, and it is likened to a down payment, first fruits or advance, to the further promises, blessings of God thus to come. This seal inevitably secures to a child of God that they own eternal life, unlike those who reject Christ altogether. So what is saying here in 2 Corinthians? But he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Spirit of God is like a promise. It's like earnest money. It's like you promise to pay on a house. You'll put down $150 or $1,000. And if you back out of that deal on that house, what happens? Bob knows because it's happened to him several times. They forfeit the money, right? It's called earnest money. And so he loses out on that money. Well, the Holy Spirit is like earnest. It's a promise. We can't lose. We can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is a promise that we will have eternal life, that we are sealed unto God. So we are his vessels. The indwelling Spirit is a confirmation, like a security deposit, of God's eternal promises. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, this vessel, this temple. Okay, the Bible uses different words to describe the same image. He just uses a temple. Your body is to be a temple, a tabernacle, a vessel. Do groan, being burdened. Okay, you're waiting for the return of the Lord. You're tired of being in the world. You're tired of the nonsense that the world throws at you day in and day out. You do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon. That means that glorified body someday, that mortality shall be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The promise, the Spirit of God dwelling in you is a promise from God that there's a greater day coming, a beautiful day coming, a future day coming, that ultimately you will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The washing of the Holy Spirit and cleansing that temple is you're trying to achieve, diligently seek after being with Christ earlier than the rest of the folks. That you will be part of a ruling and reigning royal priesthood with Christ. Then we're going to be dealing with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation. How does the Holy Spirit, how is the Holy Spirit evident in a believer's life? The manifestation. What should bubble up out of your life as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. We love you. Pray your hand upon us, Lord. We need your wisdom. Lord, it's pray that you would lift this church up to be a great lighthouse. Lord, I pray that you would give it longevity, that it would grow, that, Lord, we would see multitudes of people come to Christ, grow in their faith. And Lord, there may be people who have gotten saved, but Lord, they have not gotten good teaching or any teaching. And Lord, there are multitudes of people who are sitting home today who are saved, either for one reason or another. They haven't been in church for years. But Lord, I pray that we could reach the unchurched, the lost. We can reach those who, Lord, have gotten a lot of false teaching. And Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct us. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Be with us, Lord. Help us to cleanse the vessel from within, that both the outside and the inside would be clean, sanctified, and of a honorable vessel for your use. Lord, I thank you for each person here. Bless them mightily. Bless their homes. Bless their health. We love you, Lord. Thank you for teaching us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.